It's been another tragic weekend for general aviation. Gamera 2 achieves record altitude and then suffers a mechanical failure. And Gulfstream's G650 earns its certification. This is Aero News for Monday, September the 10th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. For the third successive weekend, there have been multiple fatal accidents claiming the lives of three pilots across the country. Famed Warbird pilot and craftsman Bob Odegaard, one of the men responsible for the formation of the Fargo Air Museum and the Fargo Air Show, was practicing for a weekend air show when his Super Corsair went down Friday evening. Odegaard was 66 years old and came from Kindred, North Dakota, where he had developed a worldwide reputation as a master craftsman of war-era aircraft and as an expert pilot. The Super Corsair was in the process of flying in preparation for the upcoming weekend air show when the accident occurred at the Barnes County Municipal Airport about 1800 local time on Friday. Odegaard was reportedly practicing a barrel roll when the plane contacted the ground. Shrapnel damaged at least two other aircraft on the ground, and the scheduled air show was canceled. Odegaard's 1945 Super Corsair was reportedly one of only two such examples of the breed still flying, and photographs show the aircraft, post-impact, fairly thoroughly destroyed. Officials hope that the air show can be rescheduled at a future date when pilots feel like flying again and in memory of Odegaard. Then on Saturday, in Borrego Springs, California, a member of the USA Advanced Aerobatic Team was killed Saturday when he reportedly jumped from his plane as it was suffering a mechanical issue, only to see his parachute fail. KNSD-TV identified the pilot as Ronaldo Beyer, a cardiologist at Sharp-Reese-Steele Medical Center. The station cited an email from the hospital's medical director who said Beyer died after the plane he was flying had a mechanical problem. The Associated Press reports that Beyer was practicing aerobatic maneuvers in the single-engine MXS aerobatic plane when the accident occurred about 12:30 p.m. north of Borrego Valley Airport, which is about 90 miles northeast of San Diego. No one else was aboard the aircraft. And in Idaho, just 5 hours later on Saturday, a small plane that the NorthwestCableNews.com reports was, quote, performing, end quote, at a Republican Party fundraiser, crashed, fatally injuring the pilot. The plane was one of two reportedly doing flyovers of the event. The crash happened just after 5:30 p.m. local time, a few miles north of Moscow, near the town of Viola. The Layton County Republicans were holding their annual fundraiser and picnic at the time. According to the county sheriff's office, witnesses reportedly heard the airplane's engine revving loudly just before the crash. The plane came apart and caught fire. The pilot was the only occupant on board, and his name has not yet been released as of our deadline. All three accidents are under investigation. In a flight on September the 1st, the human-powered Gamera 2 helicopter reached its highest altitude yet at 9.4 feet before a mechanical failure set in and the aircraft crashed. The cause of the crash was the failure of a joint in one of the airframe arms in midair. The joint had been repaired from a previous crash and had passed a static load test. No one was injured in the accident. The Gamera 2 was built and is flown by students at the A. James Clark School of Engineering at the University of Maryland in pursuit of the Sikorsky Prize. To claim the prize, a human-powered helicopter must reach an altitude of 3 meters, or 9.8 feet, hover for 60 seconds, and remain within a 10-meter square area. The Sikorsky Prize was first offered up in 1980, and to date, no one has met its requirements. The University of Maryland team has been considered the odds-on favorite, and the team has vowed to rebuild and fly again, proving the old adage that if at first you don't succeed, try again. Following on the heels of the certification of the G280, Gulfstream's ultra-large cabin, ultra-long-range Gulfstream G650 business jet aircraft has received a type certificate Friday from the FAA. The certification verifies the airworthiness of the aircraft's design. Gulfstream expects to deliver the first fully outfitted G650 business jets to customers before the end of this year. The company has received more than 200 orders for the aircraft. Gulfstream announced the G650 on March 13th of 2008, 5 years after it began designing the business jet. Over the next 35 months, 7 flight test aircraft were involved in the flight test program, accumulating more than 3,889 hours over 1,181 flights. Larry Flynn, president of Gulfstream, says, quote, "The G650 is a superlative aircraft that speaks to all that is good about business aviation: safety, security, flexibility, comfort, and capability," end quote. Well, airports from Florida to California received good news about FAA AIP grants at the end of the week, with the monies committed totaling $59.6 million. Topping the list was Van Nuys, California, which will receive a grant of $18.4 million to reconstruct and repave the primary runway at the Van Nuys Airport. Checking in with a $10 million grant is Fort Worth's Alliance Airport in Texas, which will spend the money as part of a multi-year runway expansion project. In Orlando, Florida, a $9.6 million grant will be used to rehabilitate the runway and taxiway and to purchase an aircraft rescue and firefighting vehicle for the Orlando International Airport. A little further south in Florida, Venice Municipal Airport will receive $7.1 million for runway repairs, runway safety area upgrades, and taxiway construction. In Oregon, a $6.9 million AIP grant has been awarded for runway and taxiway improvements at Portland-Hillsboro Airport. Portland-Hillsboro Airport is the second busiest airport in Oregon, with more than 214,000 takeoffs and landings in 2011. And in the Midwest, James M. Cox Dayton International Airport in Ohio will receive a $4.8 million AIP grant to expand the apron area around the terminal. Last but not least, in Indianapolis, Indiana, a $3.2 million grant will pay for the construction of a de-icing containment facility at the Indianapolis International Airport. When Aero News continues, can you say pass the buck? And Qantas will launch Boeing's latest iPad app, while Prince Harry tours Afghanistan.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Monday, September the 10th. I'm Glenn Moyer. As part of the FAA reauthorization bill passed by the Congress earlier this year, Congress directed the administrator of the FAA to conduct a study on the impact of the use of cell phones for voice communications in an aircraft during a flight in scheduled passenger air transportation. In its report, the FAA received responses to a questionnaire they prepared from Australia, Brazil, France, Ireland, Jordan, Malaysia, New Zealand, Portugal, Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and the United Kingdom. The civil aviation authorities that responded said that there have been no confirmed occurrences of cell phones affecting flight safety on aircraft with onboard cellular telephone base stations. These aviation authorities reported that the use of cell phones on aircraft while airborne is restricted by telecommunications authority regulations, and the FAA seems to have taken their lead from that finding by reporting to Congress that it's the FCC regulations, not the FAA's, that currently prohibit the use of certain cellular telephones while airborne. And because of that, the FAA has not approved installation of onboard cellular telephone base stations, often called picocells, on U.S. air carrier aircraft. Meanwhile, electronic devices continue to play an ever-expanding role in the cockpit. Qantas will be the launch customer for Boeing's onboard performance tool for iPad. The onboard performance tool gives pilots the ideal speeds and engine settings for any aircraft in any weather on any runway. It is designed to create gains in efficiency, range, and payload. This marks the first time the OPT application has run on iPad. The Australian carrier will deploy the OPT for iPad on 130 of its Boeing airplanes in the fourth quarter of this year. Britain's Prince Harry, third in line for the throne, has begun a four-month tour of Afghanistan, but not as a royal. Harry will be conducting his tour from the co-pilot gunner's seat in an Apache helicopter as a member of the British Army. This is the second deployment for the young prince. His first was cut short after only 10 days when his deployment to the war zone was made public. At that time, the British government felt the publicity would place the young prince and his squadron mates in increased danger. This time, the Associated Press reports, Britain's Defense Ministry decided to confirm Prince Harry's deployment after a threat assessment concluded that making the details public would not put him or his colleagues at any additional risk. In an interview last March, Prince Harry insisted that he was eager to return to combat after training to fly Apache helicopters. He told CBS News at the time, quote, "I've served my country. I enjoyed it because I was with my friends. And, you know, everyone has a part to play." End quote. Well, how would you like to try your hand at landing an inflatable spacecraft? All you need is a smartphone, a computer, or a tablet device. NASA has released a new educational computer web game based on its Hypersonic Inflatable Aerodynamic Decelerator, or HIAD, project. The game can be played on the Internet and Apple and Android mobile devices. The application can be downloaded free from those mobile device stores and on NASA's HIAD website. HIAD is an innovative inflatable spacecraft technology, which NASA is developing to allow giant cones of inner tubes stacked together to transport cargo to other planets or to bring cargo back from the International Space Station. The game's premise is an inflatable heat shield that returns cargo from the space station to Earth. As the HIAD summary puts it, quote, "To successfully guide an inflatable spacecraft through the superheat of atmospheric reentry requires the right stuff. If you inflate too early, your shape is incorrect and your material isn't strong enough. You burn up. And if you get all that right and miss the target, the mission is still a bust." End quote. Well, now, I'll admit, I've not checked out the game just yet, but if it's based on a stack of inflatable inner tubes and it requires the right stuff, which is so often associated with astronauts, then it seems to me the perfect astronaut for such a spacecraft just might be the Michelin Man. Think about it. It'll come to you. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.